RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay three nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another special edition of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And if you've been following along on the Nine Finger Chronicles side of things, you will know that this is Vortex Week. And during Vortex Week, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. We are talking all about Vortex optics, and not necessarily just about the products over at the Nine Finger Chronicles, but I've interviewed five guys, or two episodes, five total people, and those episodes turned out really well. So if you want to go hear some kick-ass hunting stories and talk a little bit about hunting strategy and talk about some adventure hunting, go check out the Vortex Week episodes that I've put out this week as well. And they're easy to find. They should be at the top of the list. So, Hunting Gear Podcast today, we're going to be talking with returning guest Mark Boardman. And really what this podcast is, it is a product showcase about the new products that they have come out with in the past 365 days, within the past year. So we talk about rifle scopes, we talk about binoculars, we talk about like rifle scope accessories, their new tripods that they have coming out. We get into the weeds about why they came out with these specific products, who they are kind of, who they're aiming for, their demographic. And so, long story short, it's just a really cool conversation with Mark about new products and what makes Vortex special. So outside of that, man, I think we're just going to hit this commercial real quick, and then we will go in, we'll get right into the podcast. Oh, before I forget, I do have to say this. Vortex has an apparel line as well, so I can get you a discount on the apparel. It's really good apparel, man, and it's pretty much a staple of my weekly wardrobe, if you want to say that. And so The discount code is 9, capital F, and then finger. So 9 finger. And I believe that gets you a discount of some sort. I want to say 20%, but I could be wrong. I completely forget what the actual discount is. But I know I've had a lot of guys reach out to me, and I don't say it enough on the Nine Finger Chronicles and the hunting gear side of things. So there's the discount code for that. But now, to a true partner of the Hunting Gear podcast, and that's Code Blue Sense. And for those of you guys who are following along on the Nine Finger Chronicles, you will know that I'm really looking forward to stepping up my mock scrape game this year. And I'm going to do that with Code Blue Sense. And I'm going to do that specifically with the Rope-A-Dope. And so my ultimate goal there is to try to get deer in front of a trail camera so that when I go to check my trail cameras, I can see what deer are there. And basically, it's just an identifying tool to say, okay, this buck's in the area. Do I want to shoot him? Yes or no? And just collect data that way. And it also, from that standpoint and from a strategy standpoint, you know, if I have an active scrape that I would like to have, you know, have deer come and visit while I'm in the tree stand, you know, that's a huge benefit too. So on top of that, these guys have scent elimination products. They have like laundry detergent. They have body soaps and shampoos and deodorants. They have the mock scrapes, obviously, but then they have a full lineup of authentic scents, like real urine. And the cool thing about what they do is it's real urine in like one deer in one bottle and one tarsal gland in one bottle. And it's not like a blend, but then they also have synthetics as well. So go check out codebluesense.com. And I do have a discount code for them as well. And that is NFC20 for 20% off. So go check that out. Other than that, I tell you what, man, it was an absolute pleasure going and visiting the crew at Vortex. I enjoy myself every time I go there. The people who work there are spectacular, and I really just have a good time going and visiting like-minded individuals. So enjoy this episode. If you want to go check out some more of these products, go visit vortexoptics.com. Take a look at all the products they have. They have rifle scopes. They have range finders, binoculars, spotting scopes, tripods, and any type of optic accessory that you need for your firearm or your optics themselves. So go check that out. Good vibes in, good vibes out, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey, I'm ready when you are. We're good? All right. His name is Mark Boardman. How are you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. 2 years in a row.
I know.
Coming to Vortex. I love coming here.
It's a tradition at this point now.
It is. And the people who work here are awesome, straight up.
Appreciate it. Yeah, well, you're awesome as well. It's always nice. It always just makes a visit like that much more fun when everybody's just laid back, having a good time. I mean, for goodness sakes, you played a little softball last night.
Yes, and that was actually one of the first questions I wanted to talk to you about. You didn't. I was a DH. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Two questions. Number one, I hit once, popped out once.
Mm-hmm.
Purely from where you were standing as a spectator, what did you think of my personal performance?
So, number one, by the numbers, I think you're doing just fine.
500 is pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
I liked the. You were showing a lot of versatility out there.
Yeah, okay.
With your swing.
Okay.
Pitches were coming in awfully high,
mm-hmm.
I felt. Those are tough to hit,
yep.
Right? In your first at-bat, when you got your hit, mm-hmm. got on base, mm-hmm. I think you scored, too, eventually. Did you get around
no.
and come home?
There was a force out at home, and I did not score.
Okay, that's yep. what it was. You kind of got to you don't get a lot of chances mm-mm. in the softball.
No.
So you kind of got to swing at anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you chopped at that ball, mm-hmm. but to me that showed like a lot of versatility. It's like, hey, no matter how this comes in, I'm going to give it a rip and get a base hit. You know,
yeah.
and everybody
yeah.
everybody pops
and speed
out
kills.
Once in a while.
Speed kills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People don't call me fast. usually, but I felt like I outran that. I outran that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Could have been an error.
Yeah. No. There was no risk of you not getting on base with that one. Right. But yeah, you came in high. I mean, you came down on it. Bam. You know.
What do you think about the rest of the team? And I'm going to ask this question at the next podcast we do too. I know it's a for fun league, but if you were going to tweak, if you were the manager of that team, what would you tweak so that your guys' record was not 1-9?
It's been a tough season.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll full disclosure. So I am on the roster.
Okay.
I haven't played a down yet.
Okay.
I'm on IR right now. I hurt my shoulder.
Okay.
Fair enough. Bear hunting, actually.
Really?
It wasn't an attack. I fell. I had a heavy pack on.
Yeah.
I fell forward and, I don't know, like my shoulder felt like it kind of like moved out of place and then it moved back into place.
Was this a bow hunt or a gun hunt?
It was a gun hunt.
Okay. So you were safe. You still could pull off the shot if necessary.
Yeah. And I think even if I was bow hunting, like I could have, you know, managed through it, right? Yeah. I mean, it was on the second day. We hunted the rest of the week, right?
Gotcha.
But it's still a little
tender.
It's just a little effy, okay. You know? I don't know.
Yeah. That happens, man. That happens.
So what was what your question? What would I tweak?
Yeah, what would you tweak to make your team better?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
You guys got a lot of heart.
It's a good group of folks, yeah. Lots of heart, tons of enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
I mean, you brought up the fun. Everybody's having a good time.
Yep.
You know, a lot of cheering.
Cheering.
Maybe the other teams are getting annoyed by that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it gets in their head. I don't think it's gotten in their head. You know, you look at the record a little bit. I think last night should have been a different outcome.
Yeah.
You know, you hate to blame it on maybe a call here or a call there.
Yeah, you guys did get a couple bad calls.
There was one that was like pretty like
almost a makeup call from a previous.
Is that what it was?
I'm guessing it could have been.
Because it was like, man, this guy was out at first by, I mean.
Half a mile. Yeah.
And then the result of that on base was, you know, four runs. That
yep.
Pretty big deficit to overcome yep. there.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm sure your audience is just riveted.
Riveted.
With the details of the softball game.
Well, what I'm basically trying to do is this new form of journalism where you talk shit on your friends, and then I would bring that clip back to them and then ask them to talk shit on you, and that just helps with ratings.
Yeah, I refuse to do that,
okay,
Dan.
All right.
My loyalty runs deep.
That's good, and that's an honorable trait. That's an honorable trait.
The ratings are going to suffer, but it's not honorable.
Exactly. All right. This is the Hunting Gear Podcast. And today we're going to talk. I mean, it's been a while since we've talked strictly Vortex gear
mm-hmm.
And apparel now. I mean, that's a big thing for you guys. But it's been a while since we've done a podcast where we talk about the new introductions within the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we. For those of you who are just listening to this, you can also go listen to this on YouTube and or watch this on YouTube, and you're going to be able to see what we're talking about. We're going to describe it for you guys, but you're going to be able to see it. Now, my question to you is, when you guys are looking to do a product launch or expand a category, whether that's a spotter or an accessory or a bino, what are those conversations like, and how do you out of those conversations, how do you pick what category to attack and introduce a new product?
So I'd say, you know, when you look at our, you know, our product lineup as a whole,
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty broad spectrum, right?
Right.
Covering at least, you know, in the optics game, like all the major categories, mm-hmm. right? We got binoculars, rifle scopes, spotting scopes, range finders, red dots, tripods. Related accessories. Now, within those categories, one thing that I feel like we work hard at and do a really good job at is providing, I guess, you know, tiers of price and performance within each category.
Okay.
So even when you get to, like, you know, a binocular category, it's going to be a deep category. It's going to go everything from, you know, what I consider, like, our entry point all the way on up to binoculars that compete at that true top tier of optical performance, right? Yeah. Something for everybody. At the end of the day, though, at each one of those tiers, you know, we want to make sure if somebody spends, you know, if you spend $230 with Vortex, by golly, it's going to be the best $230 binocular on the market. Same if you spend, you know, upwards of thousands of dollars, right?
Right.
So that being said, it's just spotting the holes, right?
Right.
You know, finding the white space, updating things, monitoring current trends, a lot of feedback mm-hmm. from our customers. You know, feedback that just, you know, comes in, whether they're a person calls customer care department. We got a lot of folks that are incredibly passionate about, you know, all the activities, whether it's hunting, long-range precision shooting, action shooting, right? I mean, people are competing at extremely high levels in some of these competition realms. They're coming into contact with like-minded people, right? And a lot of those people, I mean, those are the ones, they're finding those, like, little nuanced tweaks. They're pushing the edge. Maybe they're even tweaking their equipment themselves. You know, I modified this, or, you know, some of those more special, you know, more specialized person is going to have, you know, some of that feedback that's going to be like, oh, yeah, like, that's an interesting thing to think about. And then, of course, we have the product development team, which, you know, a lot of hardcore end users, but they have that engineering mindset. You know, like you said, they're doing the product research, market research, you know, the product team, you know. So
your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow. And he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Really, it's a team effort.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's price, right? Performance, like you mentioned, and everything in between, right? You some guys, like, for example, we're going to hear in a little bit, we're going to talk about the Triumph HD. You said that's a $100 pair of binoculars.
Right.
Right? And so you got everything from that all the way up to some more expensive, you know, higher cost, and that's probably going to give you a little bit higher performance as well. But the cool thing about Vortex is everything that you guys do is amazing, in my opinion, as far
Appreciate
as the quality of this Triumph. I just looked through it. It's sweet. I mean, it's now I haven't tested it in low light conditions yet, but I'm assuming it's going to perform very well, just like the rest of the stuff you guys do.
I'd say for $99, it's going to do a
really
darn
good job.
And
so you've talked a little bit about how you guys bring stuff to the table. How much do you guys weigh customer feedback?
Heavily.
And has, from your experience, has that ever been the driving force in a new product or a tweak to an old product?
I'd be hard pressed to say that any product that we came out with didn't have some sort of customer feedback element to it. Like, it'd be impossible, right? You know, customers have a really strong voice. Now, it might not be something that somebody like emailed in like, oh, you ought to do this, mm-hmm. right? It could be, right?
Yeah.
But it you know, you go on, there's so much, there's so many places where people can vocalize, you know, their thoughts on things, right? You know, whether that's, you know, the internet or whatever. Yeah, I mean, if ultimately, like, if customers don't want it,
yeah,
you know, it's not going to do well.
Right. And so let's just kind of, when your customer, like when you get customer feedback, what steps, like one guy obviously goes, hey, I think you should do this. You're like, okay, take it with a grain of salt. But if 50 people say it, now you're kind of onto something here, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so at what point do you guys start taking customer feedback seriously? I mean, obviously, from a PR, you have to say we take every customer seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But from changing a product, obviously one guy is not going to, you know, one guy isn't going to change the cost analysis of a particular product, right? So how, at what point do you guys go, okay, what we need to reevaluate this or add this or make this?
I mean, I'd say, yeah, everything's taken into consideration, right? You know, and I mean, it's kind of like that classic, you know, funnel. That I mean, and that, you know, input or suggestions can come from anywhere. They can come from a comment, can come from an email, phone call. You might just, you know, spot a trend online or something like that. And I think, you know, the big thing is like, and like I said, so many people here, they are that passionate end user. So you have a filter right there as far as like, oh yeah, that does or doesn't make sense. You know, and same with the product development team, you know, I mean, they're pretty crack squad. They're smart folks, you know, they know what's going on in the space. But yeah, like you said, you can spot trends or maybe your spot or maybe you are, and probably the development team is probably folks you got to ask about this, but, you know, they could be working on a project and I'm sure they're, you know, watching the trends and like, you know, like you hear this, yep, we're on the right track. We're on the right track.
So. Yeah. How difficult is it to manage? I mean, there's obviously a lot of people that work here, but how difficult is it to manage? I mean, we're looking in 1 year, you have multiple, tripods, you got binos, you got rifle scopes, you got red dots, you got accessories, you got range finder within the last year, ring, you know, rifle scope rings. How difficult is it to manage all of this and then be able to keep it on track for a launch on a given date?
You know, I mean, by and large, a lot of these are multi-year projects, right? From the development to the planning, the launch, and I mean, it takes a while to spin these things up, to make sure they're right, to test them right before launch, things like that. So they're all pretty big projects, and like you said, all the things you mentioned, I mean, golly, that's just about something in every category that we offer. I guess sans spotting scopes right now. But, yeah, so a lot going on, and it takes a lot of people, you know. Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, probably cliche, but, man, it is a team effort. We're so fortunate to have, you know, I guess multiple teams throughout the company. Everybody's, you know, got a single goal in mind, and that's to, you know, do the best job we can, bring the best products we can to market to get them in our customers' hands so they can have the best, you know, optical experience that they can in the field.
I always, so full disclosure here, like Vortex partners with the Nine Finger Chronicles, and I have to do an ad read for you guys at the beginning of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, right?
Yeah.
And so I always talk about lifelong customers.
Sure. Right?
And the way I look at it is this. You guys have this VIP warranty, which doesn't, if my dog chews on a binocular or I run over it or it burns up in a house fire, I can send it in, right? And what this does is it actually is preventing Vortex from making money in a roundabout way, right? If you kind of look at it like that, like, hey, I could go buy another. You guys could buy another pair of binoculars from Vortex.
Sure.
But you don't. So talk to us about the VIP warranty a little bit in regards to that leading to maybe lifelong customers when they do decide to upgrade or jump into a new category.
I think you nailed it, right? You know, I mean, Vortex has always had a long-term approach, a customer-focused philosophy since day one. Mm-hmm. Like we're not into short-term gains. I mean, we're in this thing for the long haul. We're not interested in one-time customers. We want to build customers for life.
Yeah.
And that goes, yes, that benefits Vortex, right? But it was kind of, another, like, if you build it, they will come, right?
Right.
But at the time, it was like pretty revolutionary.
Yeah.
You know, or in some ways, like every company has a great warranty, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, the story's been told before, at least, you know, internally, but, you know, Joe Hamilton early on in the Vortex days, you know, was like doing sales stuff, you know, and his dad was like, hey, we're going to have, you know, we got this warranty. We've got this, we got this, we got, you know, all these things, you know, checking all these boxes. And Joe, I'm paraphrasing this story very, very tightly, but he comes back from a big show. He's like, you know, dad, like everybody else has these things too. Like, I thought this was like a big standout differentiator. Mm-hmm. And Dan was like, but we're going to do it. But we're actually going to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've done. You know, I mean, if you're a Vortex customer, number one, we try to build our stuff, I would say, so you never have an issue in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? We work hard at that. If our stuff didn't perform, this model would not work.
Yeah.
Right? But like you said, stuff does happen. Your dog gets a hold of something. You know, heaven forbid, you have a house fire or a truck fire or something like that. I mean, we've had wild stories. One person got kicked in the chest by a horse, broke his binos in half. You know, he's like, I think these binos might have saved my life, right? Spotting scope falls off a cliff,
yeah.
Right? Like, the areas in which we use our sport optics are oftentimes not the friendliest, right?
Right.
Stuff's going to happen. And, so, I mean, it's a lifetime, unconditional, no fault, transferable, no paperwork to fill out,
yeah.
You know, hassle-free. Like, if you're a Vortex customer, we're going to take care of you. And by doing that, whether a person has to ever use the warranty or not, like, you've got the peace of mind that you're going to be taken care of. And if you do have an issue, something happens, we're going to take care of you quick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'd say oftentimes shorter than this, but I'd say, you know, definitely inside of 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you're part of the marketing department. When mm-hmm. when I hear marketing, I hear the word message, mm-hmm. right? What kind of message are you trying to tell, whether it's current customers or future customers of Vortex? What's the message?
Man, I mean, it's really just like high quality, high performing products mm-hmm. at a very fair price mm-hmm. that like we talked about before that are covered for life, you know,
yeah.
and that are gonna be, you know, the best optic to suit your lifestyle and you know, your optics related activities.
Yeah. And that's what I was wanting to get out of you is I'm in the Vortex studio right now and I'm looking at all the pictures behind you over
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Guy with a spotter in a mountain setting, a military guy down in the bottom left, you know, with it on a rifle, you know, sport shooters, you know, you even have a cook here, a rifle scope with a hunter, another spotting scope, binos, so forth and so on. And so it looks to me like the message is this is you with our stuff. Like, you're talking to the customer saying this is you,
right?
But here's our stuff in your world, and it's going to perform in your world.
Absolutely. I mean, we're lucky. Mm-hmm. We're, in my opinion, we're so lucky because we get to you know, from, like I said, the development side to the marketing side to the customer service side, we work in a space that provides products for, you know, activities that people are passionate about.
Right.
Right. I mean, including myself, mm-hmm. you know, so many people here, our customers, your life and your identity mm-hmm. and the things that you are doing, like, outside of your 9-to-5 revolve around what these products are for.
Right.
Right. It makes them fun. It makes them exciting. It's easy to be excited about it from our side of the fence because we are customers too here. Yeah. And so, yeah. And as far as, yeah, the marketing, I mean, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're like a competitive shooter, whether you're a hunter, whether you're in the military, I mean, that, you know, these are all integral parts of people's lives and important parts of people's lives. Yeah, it's a lifestyle. I mean, and we, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of, you know, there's some, I guess, higher profile people that you could say, you know, that appear in our marketing. And then there's
average Joes,
regular folks too, you know, for lack of a better word.
Yep. Absolutely.
Probably most important folks.
Absolutely.
That's us.
Yes.
That's everybody.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Okay. We have all these pieces in front of us. Where do you want to start?
You know, you brought up the Triumph 10x42, and so let's start there. Okay. So
talk to me about this binocular. I have a pair of binoculars that are sitting in my that I've had for maybe 8 years, and they are due for a VIP warranty update.
Okay? Sure.
I forgot them this week. What I wanted to do is drop them off and watch them do it.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So basically what I want to talk about is the Triumph HD here. Talk to us about why this 10x42, why this price point, and fill us in.
So yeah, like we mentioned earlier, it's a 10x42 binocular, which I'd say, you know, that 10x42 configuration is, I mean, it's pretty much the most popular configuration. I mean, that's kind of like the do-all workhorse. You know, you could be a hardcore whitetail hunter. It's gonna be a great configuration for what you're gonna do. Mm-hmm. You could go out west and be chasing mule deer or elk, or and it's gonna be phenomenal for that as well. It's just kind of like that do-all configuration. Now, I will say, Dan, early on in this process, talking to like the product development team. They're like, yeah, we're going to try and develop a $99 binocular, you know, a binocular that retails for $99. And in my head, I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't think that's a good idea for Vortex. I don't think it's a good idea for our brand. I'm not sure it's a good idea for our customers.
Do you think you were thinking that it was going to cheapen the brand?
And probably so that potentially, right? And not give our customers a optical experience.
A good optical experience.
That's, you know, going to represent what we are about. What I didn't know, Dan, is that the product development team could do this for $99.
Yeah.
Like, I was astounded when I first looked through those, when I saw the form factor, the industrial design, you know, smoothness of the focus wheel, the feature set that the binocular has. You know, is it a Razor UHD 10x42? No, it's not, right? Which, you know, I guess for listeners, like, that's our kind of top tier, mm-hmm. or that is our top tier binocular that we offer. But it's a darn good binocular, and it puts good optical performance and performance in general within reach of you know, folks who may not have the coin, mm-hmm. like a lot of folks might not, you know, to spend on, you know, maybe a higher performing binocular, but man, it's gonna do a lot, and it's not gonna kill you in your pocketbook.
Okay.
And like we talked a little bit earlier about white space, like that was a bracket that we didn't have quite filled yet.
Yep. Who is the customer for this?
I think it could be anybody. It could be an Eastern hunter, it could be a Western hunter. Like I said, it could be a person that wants a, you know, that doesn't have, you know, a ton of coin to spend, but still needs a quality pair of binoculars. Mm-hmm. Could be a person that wants a truck bino. They're mm-hmm. going to leave it in the console of their truck, and maybe they drive country roads to work every day, and they don't want to leave their primary set of binos in the truck, but, you know, they're going to keep these in their truck, so they always have them. Could be folks that have a cabin up north and want a good binocular to set on the windowsill.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I, it's funny, I oftentimes bring my own. But, you know, you'll do like a VRBO cabin somewhere, right? Yep. And oftentimes there's a set of binoculars at the cabin,
yep.
You know.
From the 1960s.
Right. And you look through it and you're like, why? Like, this might as well be like decor, you know?
Right.
In fact, that's the best thing that it's used for.
Right.
Oh, those look outdoorsy. Oh, but they're not good for looking through. So, yeah, it's for that. It's for, you know, I'd say maybe a youth. Mm-hmm. Like, oftentimes, I know I didn't have a lot of money growing up.
First pair of binoculars as a gift.
First pair of binoculars as a gift. Yep. You know, your frame, you know, your build, like you're going to be able to handle a full size binocular. You know, this is a full size binocular, still like compact and lightweight, but yep. You know, this be considered a full size binocular. You know, perfect for that first set. I also know as a youth, I wasn't the most responsible with my equipment. So you lose them or something like that, it's not going to be, you know, financially the end of the world. Yeah. I'd say try not to lose them, obviously. They're just, like I said, I was incredibly impressed with the outcome. I was skeptical on the front end and very impressed with the result. So
awesome.
Kudos to the team.
Yeah. I'm excited to get these in the tree stand this year in Iowa for sure.
And then, you know, as far as, you know, talking through the feature set, you know, HD optical system, fully multi-coated, nitrogen purged, twist-up eye cups, right eye diopter. Like I said, the form factor industrial design, in my opinion, is very appealing. It's just
and,
a solid set of binoculars.
And the same VIP warranty.
Warranty.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, and actually, I should say, which I don't have one here. I don't know if we have one in the room. It comes with our glass pack binocular harness.
Yep.
So that's like nearly even a $50 value.
Oh, so
like
it comes with a – okay.
So maybe I've got a – do I have a picture of it? Oh, so I don't know. Folks, I was going to grab one before I came in. But anyway, it comes with the glass pack binocular harness. So
yes.
You're getting that with it too.
Yeah.
So a very high value – you know, package. A person's going to be able to hit the ground running with it and go glass up some bucks.
There you go. All right. What's next?
Well, since we got him here right now, and we're kind of on the, economical side of things, got the Mountain Pass tripod here.
And tripods are fairly new for you guys, right?
I mean, we've had tripods throughout the years,
yep.
But, this is a brand new model and, you know, and then we've, you know, updated some models and we actually have, a sneak peek, I guess, at press time mm-hmm. here. I think probably when this podcast hits, we'll have launched this other tripod that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Mountain Pass tripod, aluminum leg set, fairly lightweight, lever lock leg system. I really like lever locks.
Yeah.
Single twist, you know, two-way pan head, Arca Swiss plate on top. So a lot of our spotting scopes, the actual foot of the spotting scope is, you know.
Is it standard?
It's Arca, yeah.
Yep.
You know, that Arca, I mean, that really is becoming the standard kind of across the board. It seems like, you know, even in our lineup, you know, we had like – I'm not saying this exactly, but if we had four different tripods, they might have four different plates.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you're not getting – maybe you have two Vortex tripods, now you have two different style of plate. But anyway, so all of our tripods these days are, you know, have an Arca footprint.
Yep.
All of our spotting scopes have an Arca footprint. Well, so you wouldn't need to necessarily use a plate with this, right?
Right.
The spotter would just boop, plug right in. Let me the weight on this thing, we're looking at, 3.1 pounds, so relatively lightweight. And it's going to retail for like $149.99, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, you pair this with, you know, maybe one of our, you know, like you could pair it with any spotting scope, you know, but you've got a moderately priced spotting scope. Maybe you pair it with the Triumph HD 10x42
mm-hmm.
and you throw a binocular adapter so you can glass off a tripod with your binos. You got a pretty darn effective system for not a ton of money.
Right.
You're going to be able to do some work with it.
Right. Right. when you guys said, hey, we're going to introduce or we're going to have binoculars or tripods. So a couple of years ago, when I was, you need a good tripod for a spotting scope.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Amazon and
sure.
I entered in lightweight tripod and I think I paid $30 for it. It's lightweight, but it's garbage. I mean, from all the standpoints, what
did it was like, it was lightweight. So it was easy just to
throw it in the trash. Yeah. I mean, the thing that made me mad was the sand would get in the legs here.
Oh, sure.
And then it just, you're forcing it. And it's run its course, right? And so when you guys are starting to talk about tripods, I mean, you obviously don't want to carry a brick into the backcountry.
Sure.
Or be hauling around something extremely long and compact or extremely long and heavy. What's the thought going into tripods and how they need to perform for a client?
You know, I mean, I'd say, what's the application?
Right.
Right. You know, and that's where a lot of this stuff comes down to. But, you know, we have everything from, you know, the Mountain Pass. We've got the Summit Carbon 2, which is, I'd say, I don't have one here right now, but, you know, as far as like, form factor, going to be pretty similar, but it's got carbon leg set. It's going to be lighter. It's got twist lock legs. So, you know, that would be something like, oh yeah, let's pack this into the high country. Now I will say, a lighter, you know, I guess, you know, more compact tripod
mm-hmm.
likely will have a little bit shorter leg set mm-hmm. on it, right? For some people, that's going to fit the bill. Like for me, that really fits the bill. I do most of my tripod work from the sitting position. Do you want to shoot off your tripod?
Yeah.
That's getting incredibly, and we're going to get to that a little bit. You know, that's getting incredibly popular these days. Are you in an area where the landscape, the brush is tall, and you need to be standing? Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's going to come into play with the model.
Yeah.
You know, does the leg set get high enough?
Yeah.
I am extremely weight conscious because mm-hmm. I'm a pansy when it comes to weight.
Yep.
Weight equals stability,
yep.
Right? So, or at least, you know, has a direct impact on stability,
yep.
Resistance to wind, resistance to vibration,
yep.
How much weight, a bigger, more robust tripod can oftentimes hold more weight. Okay, well, what are you putting on the tripod?
Yeah.
You know, are you shooting off of it and you've got a 25-pound rifle? Okay, well, this probably isn't, the Mountain Pass probably isn't going to be your best choice for that. So,
yeah. I gotcha.
But for, this one, just good, economical, hardworking tripod, you know.
Yep, absolutely. All right, and this big dog here.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary, not valid for McDelivery.
What, this is something that is coming out in July?
Yes.
Okay, so when you hear this, it will already be out. It'll already be out. Is this carbon fiber?
It is, yeah.
Okay, talk to us about it.
This tripod is really cool. So this is the Switchback Carbon twist lock leg set coming in at 4.6 pounds. So like if you're watching on YouTube or you see one in the store, it looks like, that's pretty robust. Like, yeah. I would guess that at more than 4.6 pounds just looking at it. So I'd say, incredibly lightweight for what you're getting with it. It's incredibly stable. I think I mentioned it's got a twist lock leg set. Where this one shines to me is it's a hybrid tripod.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely purpose-built for shooting off of, but also purpose-built for glassing off of, whether you're going to be doing tripod glassing with your binoculars or you're hucking the spotting scope on it. It's just going to – it provides a lot of performance and versatility you can get it super low. As you can see, it doesn't have, like, you know, a huge center column, so you can splay those legs out super low.
Yep.
The legs get, you know, super long, so if you're on steep terrain and maybe you've got, you know, again, I guess easier to see for watching on YouTube, but you got, you know, these two legs are about like they are here, but the hill drops off hard, boom, you can extend that leg, you know, pretty darn far, get the tripod stable, whether you're glassing or you're trying to execute a shot. So, very smooth head. It's, in my opinion, it's kind of like a hybrid head too. It's like a ball head, but it's also a pan head. It's doing a lot. It's really cool. I mean, quite ingenious, really. And for, I'd say, a lot of folks, it's going to be double duty for, for, you know, their glassing and their shooting. And we touched on it a minute ago, but shooting off of tripods is just, like, getting more and more and more popular, and for good reason. It provides an incredible amount of stability, you know, that prone-like bipod stability.
Yeah.
But, I mean, oftentimes you can't get prone or even be off a bipod because the grass is too tall or there's too much brush. Shooting off tripods is great for, you know, outfitters with clients, you know, youth hunters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can, and I would not, I think when people look at something like this, they think, oh, yeah, long range shooting, Western terrain. Man, if I was in the Midwest and hunting out of like a blind or something like that, a ground blind, and I was, you know, in egg country shooting over a field, I would be hard pressed to not run a tripod for that application. Like I said, so a lot of guys are going to be using this with, you know, they'll have an Arca rail on their rifle. But if you just got, you know, your typical hunting rifle, you can put more of like a saddle type mount on top, and it's kind of like a universal for shooting off of.
Gotcha. Okay. I have a question here. These hooks on the bottom, what function do they, or what's the purpose here? You have them on both.
So we talked about weight being stability a second ago, right?
Yeah.
So you could have, you could bring a little sack of rocks with you, you know, bag stand. It's just essentially something to hook weight to, you know, maybe you're, the wind's ripping real hard and it's just going to, you know, have the tripod sit down. It's going to decrease vibration, and provide an overall, I guess, you know, more steady viewing experience. Another nice thing about carbon, though, you know, if you're like, oh, do I go with aluminum or carbon? It's a little bit more dead.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's not going to have that metallic, you know, if you hit it. And it's inherently, you know, a little bit more vibration resistant as well. So definitely some, and the weight, right? So some advantages to carbon.
Gotcha. Cool, man. Is this, like, how deep do you guys, are you guys going to go into the tripod game? I mean, is this good enough, or you guys going to start being the kings of tripods too?
I'd say in all of our categories, you know, the goal is like to come out with something great and then never rest on our laurels.
Yep. There you go. All right. Two tripods. Go check those out. What is the next thing we're going to talk about?
A new rifle scope this year. Get my
cheat sheets
out here, just so I don't miss anything. This is the new Strike Eagle 3-18x44. Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of it's an extension of our current Strike Eagle line, which also has a 5-25x50. It's got a 34mm tube. Right, so what that gives a person is an immense amount of travel. It's a first focal plane optical system, so it's got our EBR 7C reticle, so it's a data rich reticle for folks that want to shoot off their reticle. It's got pop up and down locking elevation turret, and then a capped windage turret. So I know for myself, the way I use a rifle scope, I'm personally never going to dial my wind in the field. You could obviously pull the cap and dial wind in the field, but I'm mostly interested in that elevation turret. So the capped windage keeps the scope trim and a little bit lighter weight. And then, you know, like I said, you've got that exposed elevation turret to pop up and dial. It's got our rev stop zero system.
What's that?
So it's essentially, if you were going to set it, it'd be very simple. So you can kind of see it's got that kind of, I guess, you know, flathead,
flathead screwdriver on top.
You would just pull that off, insert a ring. So it comes with a ring in here, and you plop that down in. Now, this is once you've got your scope zeroed, right? Plop that down in, turn it all the way to the right, put that back, put the turret back on, you know, off you go. Super easy to set. It's a zero stop. So when you dial your elevation, you know, you go up X amount of mils or MOA, and you want to come back home, you're like, oh, maybe I forgot, you know, where I was or what rev I'm on. It's just, you know, it gives you that home position, so it's gonna stop actually just a little bit below the zero, and then re-index it, and off you go.
Yeah. So. Is this a scope for a beginner, or is this a scope for someone who kind of knows what they're doing?
I'd say this is more a scope for the person who's, you know, into that long-range precision game. They understand ballistics data, or they're getting into ballistic data. You know, they're going to go through the process for getting ballistic data for the load that they're pushing through their rifle. They want to be able to dial for elevation correction at extended ranges. But I'd also say, in the same breath, this model to me is extremely versatile for a vast array of applications. You know, looking at it right now, it's got like basically all the long range features and optical performance the person probably needs, right? Or at least for a lot of situations, right? That 3 to 18 magnification range, I love, because it's got a very functional low end.
Yeah.
And for a lot of the stuff, at least that I do personally, like 18 is plenty of magnification. You know, I've shot, I'd say even when I've shot at 1,000 yards, I'm oftentimes about on that 18 mark, right?
Yeah.
Tons of travel, tracks super true, optically it absolutely just kills it. It's just a very high-performing optic. The form factor isn't so, like I said, it's got all those long-range features, but it's in a pretty lightweight, compact package for what it is. So it's going to complement a lot of rifles. It's not going to look, it wouldn't even look out of place on probably on your typical sporting hunting rifle, right?
Okay.
Would this
serve a tactical purpose at all?
Certainly. Okay. Like, I think like a designated marksman,
gotcha,
law enforcement type situations. Yeah,
gotcha.
I could definitely see an application there. So, yeah, on the tactical side of the house, like probably one of my personal favorites for, you know, how I shoot or use a rifle.
Gotcha. Okay.
And like I said, tons of and you can hunt with it too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I would not hesitate to hunt with it. Like, again, for me personally, because that's mostly what I do, like I might select something different, but if a person was like, man, I got one, you know, one gun to do it all, well, this would be a heck of a scope for it.
Yeah. It seems like it would be, it's a workhorse for an experienced shooter.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
All right. Anything else special about this? This, like, I'm so limited on my knowledge of firearms.
We need to get you out for a little long range shooting.
I know. I also want to do the.
Oh, the hunter marksmanship course, maybe? Or
no, down in the, you have the, it's a fake gun, and there's all the screens surrounding
it.
The virtual reality.
Yeah, the virtual system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do that someday. But what I was getting at is, it almost limits what questions I know to ask about rifle scopes. So if you were in my shoes, what questions would you ask yourself to get some information about, you know, this rifle scope and any other cool things about it that people should know about?
I mean, I guess, you know, one feature that I left off, it is an illuminated reticle, right?
Okay.
So, and like we said, the first focal plane optical system, that reticle, as you zoom in and out, as you go up in magnification, it will appear to, I guess, grow in size. As you go down, it'll appear to, you know, get smaller. What that gives a person is, once you go through the process of getting your ballistic data, and we'll say like, oh, at 500 yards, I need to dial X amount of MOA, or I need to dial X amount of mils. You can also do that off of the reticle. You can also like hold those subtensions off the reticle. So if it said like, oh, 10 I need to hold 10 MOA on the reticle, boom, you know, you could just hold over 10 MOA, off you go. And you can do that at any point in the zoom range, right?
Okay.
So you could be on 10 power, you could be on 18 power. Those subtensions are always usable.
Yeah.
If you have a reticle that's a second focal plane reticle, which is probably what I'd say, you know, most traditional hunting rifle scopes, they're going to be a second focal plane reticle. That reticle is going to be static. Whether you zoom in or out, the reticle will always look the same. Now, it might have, you know, subtension markings. It might have, you know, hash marks that correspond with, like, you know, a certain distance, like a BDC-style reticle, a ballistic drop compensating reticle.
Yep.
But if it's a second focal plane optical system, those subtension markings will only work at a single magnification, generally the rifle scope's highest magnification. Well, you don't always want to be maxed out,
right?
But you may want to use your subtension markings. So that's where first focal plane comes into play. So,
okay.
And whether I use both, for different situations, you know, one of my favorite rifle scopes is our Razor HD LHT 3-15x42, and that's a second focal. We don't have one here. It's,
yeah.
That's a second focal plane optical system. So I just know if I want to hold, I got to crank her up to up to 15.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So there's the Strike Eagle. While we're on the subject of things that go on guns, let's talk about the Defender Red Dot.
Yeah, so new this year, the Defender CCW Red Dot. It's an incredible dot. And this is one that was in the works for a long time. This is one that we put through its paces. We did lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of durability testing. You put a dot on a pistol, man, those things can take a beating, right? You've got that reciprocating slide. What people are using it for is a very important job. Whether it's a duty pistol, whether it's a concealed carry pistol, it's got a lot of responsibility, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the Defender CCW. Its footprint is let me get my cheat sheet out on this too, because I don't want to forget anything.
This goes on a handgun.
So it'd be right? going on a handgun. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Primarily.
Yes.
Right. Primarily, it's a pistol dot. Shield RMS footprint, very popular footprint. Right now it's got, you know, the mount that it could go on a rail, but also you can pull that off and it's going to mount directly to that pistol.
Gotcha.
Comes in 3 MOA or 6 MOA. For the overall size of the Red Dot, it's got a very large window. Probably the largest in this class. I don't want to say that because I'm not, like, I guess 100% sure, but I think it's pretty safe to say it's in that realm. Daylight bright, kind of like that auto on, motion activated.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an auto off. What else?
How is this different from the other Red Dots that you guys have introduced?
In my opinion, it's the best, reflex style dot we've come out with.
Okay.
I love that thing. It's got, just so I'm going through the features, textured surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the front end here. So you pull that off, you may want to, you might have to rack the slide by pushing to get something that's going to give you a little extra purchase. It's got this guy up here, which is it's going to absorb shock in the top of the housing there.
Oh, okay.
It's built to do some work. And, like I said, definitely pretty, pretty proud of that one. It does a really, really nice job.
Good. Can this be mounted on a shotgun, or do you guys offer different red dots for that?
So we have a variety of dots that work extremely well on a shotgun. And I'd say by design, this one is meant for a pistol, but it does really, really well on a shotgun. I know Eric in the office, he hunted with this dot on his shotgun this year.
Yeah.
I know he killed a number of turkeys with it, and he really, really enjoyed hunting with it. I've shouldered and shot that dot on a couple different turkey guns. I ended up not hunting with it just because I had a Spark Solar already mounted and sighted in on my turkey gun. But I really liked the size and the form factor of it.
Gotcha.
Like, it's a little bit more petite. You know, I think it just, like, it would just really meshed with, like the form factor of a shotgun. I thought I never had an issue, like, finding the dot in the window. I thought it was really cool. So, I don't know. Like, you might see one of those on my shotgun next year, even though I really like the Spark Solar, too. And I might be too lazy to change it out, so then I might just go with the Spark Solar.
Hey, you gotta find the time. Pro rifle scope rings. Is this an accessory?
So I would say the reason why I brought those, yes, they're new, right? Okay. So they fall in that new category.
Yep.
They're a very high quality ring. They don't kill a person in their pocketbook. And I guess what's new about them is it's not the pro ring in general. It's that we have 34 millimeters, right? So they complement that Strike Eagle really, really, really well. So
okay, and so this is just a different style of rifle scope ring, aside from what comes standard with the rifle scope.
It's just so we've had the pro rings. It's just a different diameter to accommodate that 34 millimeter tube. So multiple height options, and then the 34 millimeter is what's new about it. So So a person, you know, buy a Strike Eagle, get yourself a set of 34 millimeter pro rings. You're gonna be off to the races.
Do you have to have these for this scope?
You're going to need I would pair it with a high quality 34 millimeter ring. Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha. Yep. I gotcha. Does a ring come with the scope?
Does not.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It does come though with, and I should have mentioned this before when we were talking about it. It comes with a throw lever up here.
Okay.
So, really cool accessory. You know, oftentimes this is like, you know, something that you would have to buy separately.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just going to help you, you know, once you mount it on the magnification ring, it's going to facilitate, like, you know, really fast, you know, mag changes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Magnification, I should say.
Yeah. All right. So we have anything else that we need to know about these rings?
I think that's about it.
Okay.
Yep.
And then obviously this is a hunting, well, I guess not really hunting, but I mean, you can use it for any type of shooting if you want, but I'm a hunter.
Yeah.
So I look at this as a hunter. We have the Razor HD 4000. I have the Ranger, I believe.
Okay, gotcha.
It's been a minute.
We should probably get you updated.
But
I'm glad it's still working.
Oh, dude, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I've only had to change the battery once in it, and so, dude, I love it. But this looks like a bit of an upgrade. Talk to us about this Razor HD 4000 rangefinder.
So, So the Razor HD 4000. Has been in the lineup for a while. Now, Dan, this is the Razor HD 4000 GB.
Oh, what does GB stand for?
That stands for Geo Ballistics,
okay.
Right? So not only does this rangefinder have, in my opinion, incredible optics for a rangefinder, it's got an illuminated display, a max, you know, reflective of 4,000 yards, which I don't know about you, that's probably a little bit further than I'm going to shoot at game. It's got the geoballistics onboard ballistics solver, right? So once a person gets this set up, and it's actually got a really cool app that it pairs with, you don't have to have the app. Once you get it set up, you don't have to have the app open for the unit to use, but it pairs with the app, easy setup. Once you've got it set up for the load that you're pushing through the rifle, that you're going to be using, it's going to give you a ballistic solution when you range, right? So in the past where I know, like, you know, I guess we'll take a hunting situation, we're talking hunting here, where it's like, oh, I range this thing, it's at 525 yards. Okay, now I'm either going to check a dope sheet, right, wherever I have that. Maybe it's taped to my stock. Maybe it's in a pocket in my pack. Maybe it's in my bino harness. Okay, now I've looked at the dope sheet. All I need to dial X amount of mils or MOA to execute the shot. Now I'm going to the rifle scope. I'm going to dial that. Oh, wait, did I check the right spot on the dope sheet? Maybe I'm going to recheck that because I want to make sure the shot goes off correctly. It's going to give you that ballistic solution in the field of view, right?
Yeah, so that's nuts, by the way.
It's going to be it's just very fast, very efficient, and it's going to give you, I guess, what I consider like a real-time ballistic solution, right? So it's also got an onboard environmental sensors, right? So, you know, temperature, altitude, things like that.
That's gnarly. That, number one, so like for me, I look at something like this and I go, okay, it's telling me the air temperature. It's telling me the angle, like the angle of my shot, right?
Angles. Yep.
And so is this more of a firearms rangefinder, or could a bow hunter use this as well?
So, I mean, so it's always going to give you the range, yeah, right? So if you wanted it to do double duty, it's certainly going to do that. Yeah. I'd say where that ballistic software shines is for, you know, the person who is looking to shoot long range, extend their effective range, you know, in hunting scenarios, and also wants to just be the absolute most accurate that they can be, right? Like when I was talking before about, like, and it's worked, you know, but like, oh, I referenced my dope sheet. Well, that dope sheet is set for, like, I always set mine for like kind of like a general parameter, like, oh, it's 50 degrees. And it's like, oh, well, where I'll be hunting, you know, I might be at between 4,000 and 8,000 feet. So then I'll kind of cater my ballistics to like 6,000 to kind of like, you know, fudge either way.
Yep.
This is just going to give you that customized ballistic solution for the actual place where you are at that moment, right? Yep. So it's just going to be that more accurate. And it does a really nice job. Pretty intuitive setup. It's got two wind modes on it. When you're shooting long range, you know, it's kind of I call it the dreaded wind.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that's probably the most difficult to learn and account for. So you've got a full crosswind mode that you could set to, say, 5 or 10 miles an hour. So it's going to give you a wind hold if you're like, yeah, I think it's about 5, I think it's about 10. Or you can enter a customized wind number. You know, maybe you've got access to a weather station. Maybe you've got a Kestrel, so you're getting a wind reading at your position. It pairs with a Kestrel as well, so you know, that's of note for people that want to use that device.
What's its max range? Is that 4,000?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And it also has, like I said, it's got full crosswind. It's also got a wind bearing capture mode, so it's got an onboard digital compass, right? So if you know, like I'm shooting across the canyon, it's like, yeah, I think the wind is like 10 miles per hour. But the wind might not be coming like at a full value right left, right? You can face into the wind and be like, okay, the wind's coming from this direction. Boom, I'm going to capture that compass reading. And then it's going to adjust your wind hold for, yeah, it's 10 miles an hour, but it's coming from this vector.
Yeah.
And that's going to change your wind hold.
Yeah.
So really cool unit. I've gotten to use it this last year a fair amount, and it's neat.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can, yeah, definitely for, I mean, I just, like, back in the day, I don't know, whenever that was.
Yeah.
You know, there was none of this type of technology.
No.
For any type of long-range shooter, right? And now there's apps that you can enter in information. You know, I see there's a Bluetooth button.
Yep.
Or a light up in the viewfinder here, which tells you that whatever, I'm sure you can measure what it is on your phone and connect the two.
So yeah, so that's, you know, that's how you're gonna, you know, pair the app to the unit itself for setup, or, and then, you know, you can use it with the app open, you know, if you've got, or you can, you know, the beauty of it too is you could have your phone, you could forget your phone in the truck, and once you get the unit set up, it's going to remember the ballistic profile that you have set. You can have three profiles loaded onto the unit, three active profiles,
okay,
right? So, Let's say you and I were hunting together. I could load your rifle on and my rifle, and if you were going to shoot, I could switch to your profile, boom, range, and give you your ballistic solution.
So you learn the ballistics by shooting. You enter it in the phone, and then you range, and then the outcome of whatever it is, the environment that you're in, kicks back to the phone, and it tells you where and how to adjust your scope.
Yes, but once you get it set up, it will give you all that information just in the display of the device as
okay.
well.
Okay, all right.
So like it'll do both. So I mean,
so I'm on a sheep hunt. It's 800 yards away, and it's windy as shit. I range.
It's a tough shot.
Yeah, I range, but it's a once in a lifetime shot, right? I don't know. Maybe it's not windy. I don't know. I don't. It's a little windy. It's very cold, let's say. All the readings from that come to your eye, and then you make the adjustments.
And then you make the adjustment on the rifle scope.
On the rifle scope.
Yep.
So it's a cheat. It's a cheat code, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to give you, you know, what I would consider the most precise, up-to-date data to execute that shot.
Man, that's pretty cool.
I was just thinking of something else with it. Oh, so, you know, as far as setup, so the, you know, the app has a very robust bullet library.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, you know, a common, you know, long range, well, I mean, it could be, you know, whatever, maybe you're shooting a 127 Barnes LRX, maybe you're shooting, you know, from Barnes, maybe you are, you know, shooting, I guess I'm talking 6.5 Creed stuff right now because it's off the top of my head, but, you know, like a 143 ELDX from Hornady, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from their Precision Hunter line. You can go, when you go into the app, instead of like going to the manufacturer's website and be like, okay, so what's the ballistic coefficient of that bullet? What's the, you know, that stuff will be, those, I guess, data points will be in the library. So you can just select 6.5 Creed 143 ELDX and it's going to like auto populate a lot of the attributes of that bullet that you're going to need to build that ballistic profile.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's cool, man.
And then you're, I mean, for utmost accuracy, you know, you're going to want to chronograph your gun, right? Because, you know, box posted velocities are just that, right? It's going to be a little bit different on every gun. So good data in, good data out.
That's a fact.
You know?
That's a fact. Well, that's interesting, man. Another good year for Vortex and some new products that you guys have brought to market. Obviously, all of this stuff is online, and people can go to vortexoptics.com and check it out.
Yeah, check it out online. Check it out at your local retailer. You know, it's always a good place to look at. You know, I always say, you know, these things are looking, they're for looking through. So
yeah,
it helps to look through them when making your decisions. But yeah, all fun stuff. The new stuff within the last year touches a lot of categories, which is always fun. And some stuff that genuinely excited about for sure. That's and it. Have been using.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Mr. Mark, I appreciate your time. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come and do this, man.
Absolutely, man. No, it's always a pleasure. It's always having you. Nice having you visit, Dan. We don't do it enough, but hey, I mean, we're getting consistent.
There you go.
I like that.
Two times in a row is a trend.
Yeah.
Right? It's at the beginning of one, anyway. So next year will definitely be a trend.
I mean, we're probably on the cusp of tradition at this point.
Dare I say. All right. Thanks, man.
Cool. Nope. Thanks, Dan.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications.
See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.